Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world. So welcome to the 564th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And today's title is 2022 Endgame Update Number 28. And later in this message, folks, after we share all the forbidden news that the mainstream media will never tell you, we're going to all tie it into how we can make our prayers both fervent and effective. Because remember last week, we learned that our prayers will one day literally shake the earth. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, in the second part of that verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I hope and pray that you stay tuned to learn how we can learn to pray both fervently and effectively as we wage spiritual warfare upon the minions of Lucifer who are driving us towards the Great Reset. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people passing through. And like I said, please stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, let's look at something from a past episode. So before we get into the news, folks, I want to remind you that a few weeks ago, we talked about the Pritzker family, you know, the hotel giants. I think it was the Hyatt hotel chain. The Pritzker family's transgender plan, okay, or this gender dysphoria brainwashing they're trying to put upon the world. They're one critical link in this whole thing. They use their money through foundations to create this agenda. Now, what I'd like to do is play a clip for you that we played several weeks ago just to set the stage for what I'd like to remind ourselves about. And this is how schools sexualize our children. Let's have a listen.
Not so long ago, our children went to school to be educated, not indoctrinated. However, unbeknownst to many parents, our children's education has become riddled with unproven, unscientific, radical sexual identity politics.
Each and every parent, if they go into their school and they ask to see the PSHE or the trans inclusion across the curriculum, they will find their school to be evasive.
Critical theory, gender theory, critical race theory, queer theory, all of these really, really contested ideologies are being shoveled down kids' throats through PSHE, RSE, citizenship.
These kids will become little activists for their progressive causes.
Who is saying children are sexual from birth? Who is saying children can masturbate from birth?
I have no idea why you want drag queens to read books to your children. I have no idea. Would you want a stripper or a porn star to influence your child?
So now I faced a bit of pushback on that one. Some people said, well, that's over in Great Britain, broke in. Nobody's doing that here. And this week, this article came out in the Zero Edge. Christian high school Manhattan hosted mandatory drag show in a district, Grace Church High School. Now, every Wednesday they have a church service, and that's fairly normal for Christian schools, be it secondary or college, you have to attend chapel. That's part of the requirements for graduation. But when they went into the church for their normal service, they were surprised to be greeted by a drag show, folks, with a dancing drag queen in orange go-go boots named Britta Filter. Now, this ungodly event was sponsored by their LGBT support club. Can you even imagine this? In a Christian school, they have an LGBT support club, and the name of this club was Spectrum. Now, many of the students said they felt pressured to participate, so they had to pretend that they enjoyed the event. And some of the Spectrum club members were walking around during the event, tapping on the shoulders of these stunned students and ordering them to stand up for the show. Seriously, can you believe this? While others were handing out pride stickers and then looking these students in the eyes and said, take one, put it on. If you don't, you're homophobic. And then other students, I don't know if they were just following the sheep mentality or whatever, but they actually got involved in the show. Now, remember where they're at. They're in a chapel. And some of these students actually began twerking in a chapel. Then after the dancing was all over, this drag freak, whatever you want to call them, Britta, began discussing what it means to be pansexual.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
That's right, Gomer, but actually it's no surprise in this postmodern, morally corrupt world. It really isn't. When you stop and think about all the different things that we've lost over the last 5 or 10 years in terms of stability in our culture, it's no surprise at all. Now, Gomer, did you know that Grace Church is an Episcopalian church? Now, what's an Episcopalian? Well, it's the American descent or the American offshoot of the Church of England. Now, it has both characteristics of Catholicism and Protestantism. I'm giving you a little background on this, folks. It has a long history. It goes all the way back to King Henry VIII, where he threw the Roman Catholic Church out of England and established himself as the head of the Church of England. So they had a lot of the old Catholic customs. But today, it's nothing more than a New Age satanic organization. They've gone all out Marxist in terms of race and gender ideology. They even have sodomite bishops now, folks. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9, for the look on their faces bear witness against them. They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Folks, I'm telling you, the truth has fallen in the streets. Now, remember we talked about Matt Walsh and his incredible documentary, What is a Woman? If you haven't seen it, folks, I encourage you to go out there and see it. If you can't find it, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. What I'd like to do is just play another clip out of this. It's only a 40-second clip, and he's interviewing a professor, and I think it might be at a university here in Pennsylvania, but don't quote me on that. And he's just talking about truth. And this professor accuses him of, or actually accuses truth of being transphobic. Let's have a listen.
Well, I'm not even talking about social context. I'm just trying to start by getting to the truth, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really uncomfortable with that language of, like, getting to the truth. Again, in social
Why is that uncomfortable?
Because that, it sounds actually deeply transphobic to me. And if you keep probing, we're going to stop the interview.
If I probe about what the truth is?
You keep invoking the word truth, which is condescending and rude. I'm saying to you...
How is the word truth condescending and rude?
Why don't you tell me what your truth is, and you're walking on 30 seconds more of thin ice before I get up.
What my truth...
That's enough of that clip. Did you hear how that professor was talking? Yeah, I'm really uncomfortable about that question. Truth is both condescending and rude. So this is just as the prophet Isaiah foresaw in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 4. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Folks, the son of perdition himself, Barack Hussein Obama, remember him? The first illegitimate president because he didn't even have proper birth status. And that's a fact. Yet we've had that all covered up. And if you talk about that, you're crazy too. But that's a documented fact, folks. In fact, did you just hear one of his Kenyan cousins was in the news this week? Yeah. Barack Hussein Obama. Just say that name. Barack Hussein Obama was born in Kenya, folks. It's an open fact. It's out there. Just do your research. But anyways, he's going to unveil his presidential portrait in the White House this September. And did you know that Mr. Lightning from Heaven himself, that's what Barack means, his portrait was done by, and we've talked about this in the past shows, Kehinde Wiley. And it includes a serpent in the garden with sperm dripping off the fangs onto the forehead. I mean, this is sick. And if you look closely in the background, you can even see T-Rex and sheep in the leaves. They aren't hiding it anymore, folks. This world's coming to a great climax here, this present age. You see, what's going on is the serpent tribe has sucked all the masculinity out of the system, and soon they're going to set it up for the slaughter of any sheep that are left. You know, the Christ, the flock of Jesus Christ, the church. I'm telling you, folks, if you haven't repented and trusted and then trust and obey, it's time to do it. Your sights have got to be single, double-minded. Your eyes have got to be fixed on the Lord. Turn that down eye up and confess your sins to Jesus Christ, folks, and surrender to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm begging you to do that, folks, because this beast system will destroy you otherwise. You remember, Jesus came and gave his life for yours. Now, after you do this, just go out and live a life in absolute truth, keeping Jesus Christ at the center of your heart. And 100% no lying. Amen. Just like Jonathan Kleck says, no lying, nylon. Now, one more thing regarding Matt Walsh's must-see documentary. There's a review that I'd like to talk about out of the City Journal, but a little bit more on that later in the show, because we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Sister Kathy and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, folks, let's get started with the coronavirus hype. Folks, it's coming out more and more every day. It was a plandemic. Did you hear the CDC just backpedaled on all of their guidelines? No more distinction between the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. You don't have to isolate if you were exposed to a COVID case and you're asymptomatic. That means there is no spread of asymptomatic COVID. I've been saying this for 2.5 years, folks, and I've been getting a lot of flack from it. But let's keep moving. So I've been talking about the sudden adult death syndrome report, or the anything but vaccine report, as Mike Adam calls it. You know, Steve Kirsch has been following these Canadian doctors who've been dying in the One Health system. They must have got the hot dose. You know, Pfizer has three different classes within their coding system. We've talked about that on the show. Anyways, the death count now on physicians who have received the booster is now up to 14. Now, normally, Kirsch reports there should only be zero physicians dying in this demographic over the past 30 years, but we have 14 now. Now, if you'd like to read about this in detail, go over to Steve Kirsch at substack.com, and it's 14 young Canadian docs die. And then did you hear about this one Ohio medical student die suddenly due to a heart issue during a 3-day bike ride for cancer research? Yeah, a second-year medical student at Ohio State University died suddenly last Saturday. And folks, these articles are out there every single day. So he was in this fundraiser. It was a 102-mile charity bike ride to raise funds for cancer research. And Mason Fisher, age 27, collapsed 2.9 miles before the finish. and he passed away due to a quote-unquote medical issue, according to the Columbus Dispatch. And then there was the 31-year-old British actor Sam Gannon, died suddenly while visiting his family in California. Now, he was a former Emmerdale star. I don't even know what that show was. But Sam Gannon was confirmed to have died suddenly on Tuesday while in California visiting family. And his cause of death is currently unknown. Now, his mom says he was born with a heart condition, which in recent months has reared its ugly head. But why would such a thing happen now? Well, we all know why. The clot shot. You know, whatever heart condition he was born with was most likely relatively minor or at least under control through treatment because he's now 31 years old. But then along comes the clot shots and the toxic jabs, and suddenly something minor becomes something major. It's very tragic, folks. And as we know, this is all caused by this incredible crime against humanity. And remember, we played the clip a few weeks ago about Anderson. In fact, I might have that here. She was the parliament member from the UK. Let's see if I have it. Anderson. Dean Anderson, 17 seconds. She calls this jab a crime against humanity.
This vaccine campaign, it will go down as the biggest scandal in medical history. And moreover, it will be known as the biggest crime ever committed on humanity.
And it has, folks. It has gone down in history as the greatest crime. In fact, that's why you see this acceleration right now with all this deep state garbage around the abuse of power with the FBI and everything else they're doing, the hiring of 86,000 new IRS agents. They realize that the people are waking up. You know, the medical system has already been stretched to its limit before they started firing personnel and making everyone sick with these death jabs. No doctor has the time to find alternative news like we do. No doctor has the time to research alternative treatments in the major medical journals, and they're there. Although the major medical journals are lying, and you can't look at any of this peer review as anything legitimate anymore, there are still some good papers, like the hydrogen peroxide paper with the medical physicians. Folks, when I had a bad case of it, and I do believe it was a bio attack, I don't believe it's some invisible virus that got in me. I believe I was bio-attacked. And the hydrogen peroxide treatment that I did, according to the guidelines followed in that paper, reversed my conditions. My pulse ox numbers came up considerably immediately upon the first oral treatment with the food-grade hydrogen peroxide. Now, I'm not recommending that to anybody. I'm just telling you what I did. And it's out there in the medical journals. And some of the doctors just aren't busy. Some of them are corrupt. They've taken bribes to report only favorably on the shots. Those are the corrupted ones. And all these various Western world governments from New Zealand to Australia to the EU and US, they are lying about their own death statistics. We've reported on that. The UK is stopping various statistics just as the US government did. Oh, and the CDC just said no longer to test healthy people. Why? Because it creates a case-demic. Their whole narrative's falling apart, folks. And that's because medicine, modern medicine, is falling apart. Yet so few people can see the big picture here. And a lot of medical people are in denial over what they're seeing, probably because most of them have taken the shots themselves, haven't done the research, because they didn't want to get fired. They just wanted to get along, you know, go along to get along. And they didn't want to be censored. They didn't want to be canceled. They didn't want to lose their job. Now, denial is how most of these people are coping, okay? Now, if you want to see how Big Pharma is capable of using today's laws and the lobby system and all that to take over the entire medical establishment, there's a series out there that you ought to watch. It's called Dope Sick, and it's very good. In fact, I'm going to queue it up for us to watch, but everything I've heard about it, it's very good. So, oh, yeah, there's another one. Did you hear about the Saudi ambassador, Mohammed Al Khadni, who fell dead during a speech. He literally was just standing there in Cairo, in Egypt, praising what President El-Sisi done and describing him as a dean of humanity when he just fell backwards and then thud, dead. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. Now, there's an independent TV station over in San Diego. It's KUSI 40, and they had a detailed report. They still do investigative journalism over there in KUSI San Diego. You know, the southern part of California and the far northern part are much more conservative than that thick area between Los Angeles and San Francisco. That's where most of the corruption lies in California. Most of the people out in California are very solid, decent people, and I pray for them every day. In fact, you know, there's even indication that California actually went red this last election, 2020. The deception, the vote scam is so deep, folks, but that's a story for another day. Right now, I'd like to play this story from KUSI 40 in San Diego, and their reporter has uncovered a 40% increase in all-cause deaths in 2021 based on the insurance company results. This is an 8-minute clip. Let's have a listen.
U.S. life insurance companies have reported an overwhelming and unexplainable increase in all-cause deaths among 18 to 49-year-olds. Along with that, there's also been an increase in certain medical diagnoses, such as miscarriages and Bell's palsy. Here to give us her take on the new data and what she believes could be causing the rise in numbers is emergency medicine and disaster specialist, Dr. Kelly Victory. Dr. Victory, good morning. Great to talk to you as always.
Good morning, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we want to make sure that anytime we talk, we want to make sure the information that we have is accurate. So let's start this interview by telling us, I've seen your correspondence here, what is the source of the information that you're about to present?
Well, this information became available to me or on my radar last week following a hearing with Senator Ron Johnson, who was looking at sort of what he calls a second opinion on the entire response to the COVID pandemic. The medical data was released by three career military physicians who got the information from the military database that collects what we call ICD codes, which are the diagnosis codes. And these physicians had a feeling, they believed based on their own observation, that they were seeing a significant uptick in certain conditions. So they actually went back and culled the database from the military on certain conditions over a 5-year period from 2016 through 2020, notably, containing 1 year, 2020, of the full-blown pandemic. So they looked at 2016, 17, 18, 19, and 20 at the prevalence of certain conditions, including things like heart attack, blood clots to the lung, miscarriages, those sorts of things. And they compared it to the incidence of those same things in the calendar year 2021 and saw an alarming increase in certain things. For example, they saw a 270% increase in myocardial infarction in 2021, a 300% increase in incidence of Bell's palsy and of certain neurologic complaints, a 470% increase in pulmonary embolisms, blood clots to the lungs, and many, many other huge increases that they found alarming. Now, no one is saying with any certainty, Jason, what is causing this, but we certainly would be remiss as scientists if we didn't look at that and say, there is something going on. What happened in 2021 that was so different from the previous 5-year average that would cause this massive increase in certain medical conditions?
So the source of the information is several U.S. life insurance companies that have been reporting this, correct? And these three career physicians that you referred to.
Well, they're separate groups of data, Jason. The previous study from the U.S. life insurance companies, many of them were reporting a 40% increase in deaths from all causes in the 18 to 49 year old group. They know that because these are life insurance companies that provide group life insurance policies to employers. So these are working age individuals with a 40% increase in all-cause deaths. That was a different report from this bombshell that came out last week from, as I said, three career military physicians who are culling a military database. So they are two groups of data that show, again, an alarm that something is going on. And the question is what? What has changed in calendar year 2021 that is causing, number one, an increase in all-cause deaths, as reported by the life insurance companies, and an increase in certain medical conditions, such as heart attacks, blood clots to the lungs, congenital malformations of children born that year, female infertility, and those sorts of things.
Did these three career military physicians offer any type of speculation?
They did not, but they did not do this anonymously. They signed an affidavit on this. I have not seen the raw data. I'm not a military physician. I don't have access to that database, but I don't have any reason to believe at this juncture that the data is in question. These are, again, based on ICD codes. And I should make it clear, because it's very easy to make statistics of these sorts deceptive. So when I say that there's a 300% increase, for example, in cancers, is what they found. This wasn't an increase from one case to four cases. In the case of cancer, for example, it was an increase from an average, a five-year average of 38,000 cases per year to almost 120,000 cases in calendar year 2021. And actually, it wasn't even a full year. It was more like 11 months worth of data. And it was almost up to 120,000 cases of cancer. So the question is, what would cause that? Obviously, there's some conjecture amongst people that it could be the COVID vaccines. That has yet to be proven. But again, we would be remiss if we said that we couldn't consider that. Maybe it's climate change. I don't know. But I sure as heck do know that we better be paying attention to it, because real science, Jason, real science requires us to be intellectually curious. It requires us to ask the uncomfortable question and to look at data, even if that data makes us question previously held convictions. And so if we aren't able to look at this data, if we are silenced and shut down, and I can tell you, I posted a tweet about it yesterday after the data became clear to me that there was something going on. I simply posted as, wow, what's going on here? And the amount of vitriol that single tweet generated was really quite stunning. The number of people who tweeted back that I should lose my medical license, that I should be kicked off Twitter, that I should be reported to the authorities is really alarming. The idea that people are so fearful of looking at actual data and asking the question, what is going on, is really a dangerous place for us.
Do you expect this information to be presented to the CDC?
I certainly hope so. The CDC and the FDA should be all over this. That's their job. But instead, the idea that they are trying to silence people, the three military physicians who released it have been termed whistleblowers. In the past, we just would have called them good doctors looking at patterns. That's what doctors do. That's what scientists are supposed to do. Look at patterns. Look at what seems unusual. Question those things. Bring them to the surface and do the deep dive analysis. We have many, many questions in medicine that don't have answers. We sure as heck shouldn't have answers that can't be questioned. And if the problem turns out to be these vaccines, and they certainly should be looking at it, that it is certainly one thing of perhaps many that changed in 2021 that could be responsible for some portion, if not all, of these increases in various medical conditions. And it deserves to be fully exposed and to be examined very, very carefully.
Okay.
Dr. Kelly Victory, appreciate it. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much for having me, Jason.
Have a great weekend.
I'll tell you that Dr. Kelly Victory is doing good, hard research. So she has two databases now, the military database, which I forgot to mention, and the insurance database, all showing significant increases, what they call all-cause death. So it's up 40% right now, folks, from two disparate sources, the military coded reporting system for all enlisted service people and the insurance company. And I'll tell you, these insurance companies are very good with their numbers. They hire some very, very smart mathematicians that do actuarial studies to assure that the company is going to remain profitable. You know, if they cannot turn a profit selling insurance, they're going to be out of business. And some of these insurance companies have been in business for 150 or more years. So they're very good at looking at numbers. And that's the point. Now, Dr. Kelly Victory mentioned something in there that was very important. Real science demands us to be intellectually curious and ask the uncomfortable question. Now, at the beginning of this, I played a clip. I'm talking about the beginning of this scamdemic when I changed the format of the SDD shows. One of the first clips I played was Dolores Cahill talking about the mRNA death jabs from some original studies done about a decade ago with ferrets in the cytokine storm. Now, this is a 3-minute and 43-second clip I'd like to replay to remind you what it means to be intellectually curious and ask the uncomfortable questions.
So this is a paper from, I think, 2012 in PLOS One, and it's immunization with SARS coronavirus vaccine leads to pulmonary immunopathology unchallenging with the SARS virus. So the issue when you inject messenger RNA will say if it had a protein from the virus like the spike protein, this plus positive RNA can go into our cells. The spike protein from the virus is expressed in our cells and may be exposed to the immune system when those cells die, and the body starts mounting an immune response, including an antibody response. But then, so say if that happens in December, and people would start doing that straight away, so within 2 or 3 weeks, that process would start. But if in February, March, April, another coronavirus is circulating naturally in 2021, that would be like a challenge with the natural, the SARS is one of the natural coronaviruses, or it could even be the common cold, that what happened in this study is that the animal models, after being challenged, got very sick and that some of them died. So that it says, the last line of the abstract says, caution in proceeding to the application of a SARS-CoV vaccine in humans is indicated. And so the name for this thing is antibody-dependent response or cytokine storm or immunopriming or immune superpriming. You know, so this is why there has been no vaccine for decades licensed for coronavirus, is because you get this issue that the messenger RNA starts expressing the virus, and then when it comes across the natural circulating coronavirus, could be a month or a year or 2 years down the road, that then the people get very, very ill very quickly with this cytokine storm. And they also saw this in a respiratory vaccine, RSV. If you see it in the middle of the screen here, sorry, that's given to children. Where if you look at halfway down the paragraph, most of the children who were giving this RSV vaccine, which had the same issue, most of the children experienced severe disease with infection that led to a high frequency of hospitalizations, and 2 children out of 35 died. And the conclusion from this was that the disease was enhanced by the prior vaccination. So what people need to know is that with these RNA vaccines is that after you're vaccinated for the rest of your life, you will have much higher death as in the children in this study because you were vaccinated. And why I came out with this in May 2020 is that the people may not make the connection. And what we do not want is that if there is significant death, we'll say in February, March, April next year, that is called COVID-19 or COVID-21, that we will have to monitor if the people who are dying, and there is predictions, that's why they are having the tender for large amounts of adverse events from the vaccine, is that if there is increased death, it is well known, and we don't want those deaths to be called COVID-19 or COVID-21. They are this issue about vaccine making people more sick and have a higher chance of death, not because of the circulating virus, but because of the vaccination weeks or months ahead.
So there you have it, folks. 2 years ago plus, we played that. And now people are waking up, which leads to this type of response I have in this next clip from a father who, against his better judgment, allowed his son's mother, his wife, to have his child. I think it was like a 5 or 6 year old boy, get the death jab. Now, he calls the pharmacy and speaks to the pharmacist, and as you'll hear in this next 4.5 minute clip, he was not happy.
Pharmacy, yes, speaking.
Yeah, hi. Are you a pharmacist?
Yes, how can I help?
Yeah, hey, I've got a question. My wife, against my wishes, brought my son, 7-year-old son, in there a few days ago for a COVID jab, and he's now in the hospital with myocarditis. And I was obviously not very happy with you guys or with my wife. She told me that she was not told that was a potential side effect. So why wouldn't you have told her that?
Okay. Sorry. So it's quite a rare side effect as well.
No, it's not that. No, it's not, because I've been doing research. It's common. In the U.S., there's tens of thousands of them reported to the CDC site. So why are you not telling parents this?
We might scare the parents and they don't want to get their child vaccinated.
Yeah, so you don't want to scare the parents with something that is actually happening, that's happened to my kid. Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? You don't want to scare them. You need to give them the right information so they can make a proper decision. What is wrong with you? You don't want to scare them. I'm recording this conversation as well, and this is going to a lawyer next. Thank you for admitting that. So why don't you tell them? When someone comes in there and says, hey, what can go wrong? What do you say, sore arm? Have you seen the amount of dead people? Have you seen it?
Has your wife asked before giving consent to give
the child? She asked what the side effects are.
Did she ask? I'm not sure because I wasn't there.
It doesn't matter. You're supposed to tell people this can happen. Now my kid. So you know what the prognosis is? You know what it is? Possible death within 5 years. 20% of people with myocarditis die. It is a permanent damaged heart. It is not temporary.
I'm so sorry about that.
Because of you. Because you didn't want to scare her. You know no kids have died from COVID, not a single healthy kid. And you're giving this stuff out, and you're not warning people. What is wrong with you?
So there are information online that you can look up,
helpline? You gave the shot. When someone comes in there and asks what the side effects are, you don't not say, because it might scare them from the shot. What is wrong with you?
So the benefit of getting the vaccination is... So we're giving the vaccination because the benefit outweighed the risk?
No, there isn't. Do you know I'm looking at a Johns Hopkins study? There have been 400 people under 18 die in the United States, 330 million people. Not one of them was healthy. They had cancer, leukemia, obesity, something wrong with them. Not one kid has died or ended up in the hospital. So the benefits are zero to my kid. Why did you not tell them? It's up to you to tell them, then we make a decision. Not you. You tell us, okay, it's rare, but it happens. You didn't tell her that, did you?
I'm not sure. I wasn't the vaccinator at that time.
You're not doing it. So when the next kid walks in there with a mother for a shot, are you going to tell them, hey, I just got a call from someone. Their kid's heart is destroyed. Keep that in mind. That can happen. Are you going to tell them that? Are you?
I, cannot answer you that.
Well, why can't you? Because it's going to go in a court and you'll answer it. You just admitted that you don't tell people because you don't want to scare them.
I'm not sure. Sorry, I wasn't the pharmacist that did the vaccination.
I don't know what the situation is. Yeah, right.
So I don't know what she took in the vaccination area. I'm not sure. I cannot speak.
I cannot speak
on behalf of the pharmacist that vaccinated.
She just told me you don't tell people because you might scare them. I have it on a recording. You want me to play it back?
So what's going on here, folks, is the establishment through these pharmacies, the medical practitioners, whether you're getting a jab in a by a pharmacist in a pharmacy or by a doctor in your doctor's office, they are bypassing the informed consent portion of this whole process. And remember, last week we talked about Dr. Chambers, I believe his name was. He was on the Jeffrey Prather show. And he was the surgeon for the special forces who had done over 3,000 informed consents properly, going through with these enlisted men and women the risks associated with this jab. And after properly informing them, he only got 6 takers out of 3,000 plus people. That's why they're not doing informed consent, folks. And that's why we see this all unwinding. It's happening all over the world. It's not just this isolated case with this pharmacist being reamed out by this father who's very upset that his son's heart's destroyed. There was a story out of the Gateway Pundit this week that police in, New Zealand, were investigating the death of a 12-year-old girl who collapsed while running in an Auckland park on Thursday. Now, this was reported by a news group called Stuff, S-T-U-F-F. So the identity of this young girl is not being released because of her age, but she was in eighth grade, and she was a student at Barradine College of the Sacred Heart in Auckland, and she's dead. It's happening all over the world, folks, but we have to keep moving. Right now, it's time for our Kabuki Theater Update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means salt, boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb, kabu meaning to slant or display. Folks, it's all right. It's the flattened curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all, Trump, bad. Must go, good is bad, bad is good. Up is down, light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, as you've all probably heard by this time, Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago was raided, or was that an orderly search? What was it? A little more on that later, but it happened last Monday. And there was this open letter on the Bayou Renaissance Man blogspot, an open letter to all FBI agents and federal law enforcement personnel, and it resonated with me. Now, he starts, and I agree with everything he's saying here, folks. He's no fan of Steve Bannon, neither am I. But last night, he put the FBI raid on President Trump's residence in Florida in perspective. He said they've weaponized the Justice Department, which they have, and this had to be approved by the White House. And anybody saying otherwise is a liar. Folks, when something this egregious, when something this high profile happens, it has to go all the way up the chain of command. Had to start with the chief, imposter in chief, Biden, had to go through Merrick Garland to Christopher Wray. This is pure power politics, folks, and they're scared to death about Trump and all the information that's coming out and all of the sweep by these America First candidates that Trump is endorsing. Now, I'm also no fan of Trump. You know, it was Albert Pike, the Confederate general, the only Confederate general whose statue still stands in Washington, D.C., the founder of modern Freemasonry, who wrote Morals and Dogma. He said, when the people need a hero, we'll give them one. And I'm starting to think that's what President Trump was. Remember, I've told you the war that's going on between the English and the French Freemasons. I think that's what we see here with Trump and the MAGA movement. They're the English Freemasons who are fighting the godless, atheistic French Freemasons, the left versus right paradigm. Yet they're all globalists, just marching to the beat of a different drummer, but at the top you have Lucifer controlling it all. But I get off track here, folks. So they're afraid of what's happening. Oh, and thank you, Alex, for sending me that meme with Pike's quote. They're absolutely terrified that Trump's going to announce in a few weeks that he's going to run for president again. And after the incredible outpouring with the Carrie Lake candidacy for the Republican slot in Arizona, where she overwhelmed the system with votes and they couldn't even cheat their way to a victory with their plant, I think they're realizing that the Republicans that are going to come into party, and I'm not talking rhinos, folks. I'm talking American first patriots. I believe they're going to be open to a full investigation. They're going to cut off appropriations to the FBI and get to the bottom of all this. And if they don't, it's just going to continue. It's going to get worse. The FBI has become the Gestapo, folks, and its antics from what they did to that Gold Star mother in Colorado that they dragged out of her home in chains to Peter Navarro. I mean, all these dynamic arrests, they're crazy. It's absolutely insane. It's insanity, folks. It's what the Germans did to their opposition during Nazi Germany. You know, you've got to fight fire with fire. And the way to do that right now isn't to revolt. They want that. It's to overwhelm the election system with votes, same-day votes, that cannot be countered with all of their scams because it'll get outside the realm of statistical control. The wins have got to be so overwhelming, folks, like Carrie Lake did in Arizona, that they simply cannot cheat. And then once some patriots are in power, they've got to use the appropriations process to choke out the FBI and all these other alphabet agencies from the IRS to the CDC to the Department of Education and everything else and get to the bottom of all of this, to drain that swamp. You know, it's outrageous, folks, that this even happened to President Trump, and it needs to be investigated. Now, everything said there by Banyan, I agree with 100%. These FBI agents and all federal law enforcement personnel, for that matter, when they begin employment with the federal government, have to take an oath of office. And it states, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well, faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter, so help me God. Folks, every single federal agent takes that oath. And that ought to be binding to their conscience. But in this postmodern world where they say truth is relative, which means there is no truth, and by the way, that's not true. There's right and there's wrong. It's black and white, folks. So these people who are now victims of this postmodern stinking thinking that we've been talking about from the ghosts of our past, you know, people like Hegel and Feuerbach and all those that we've talked about in Ken's Corner, they have been so corrupted with regard to their understanding of truth that they willingly went along and participated in this raid on President Trump. And to those who approved it and those in the media who justify it, justifying political stunts like this, I believe they've all either betrayed their oath of office or have just turned a blind eye to truth and are literally driving the nails of the coffin into this once great nation. Now, there are some people going even further and saying that these types of people have now become a domestic enemy of the Constitution. So don't be surprised if Americans who are still faithful to the Constitution begin to stand up in more and more forceful ways. And a lot of this is by design, folks. You know, there are so many former and even current colleagues of these egregious criminals still in the Department of Justice that are outraged by what happened on Monday. Yet sadly, a lot of them have retired or just left. Others are now considering it. Now, some are still in there trying to manage the damage from within, but it's not going too well, folks. And I don't know whether it's possible to do that. I think it may take an entire shutdown of the FBI and some of these other agencies like the CIA and the IRS. I just don't think you can fix it. I think you have to tear it down and rebuild it. I'm not talking about a convention of states, which is very dangerous. I'm not talking about a revolution. I'm talking about a reformation, legally and lawfully, folks. Now, some are even saying have never seen it closer to an outbreak of another civil war than we are right now. But I pray that God prevents it and that it's still possible to reform so we can avoid revolution. That's not good, but that's exactly what the deep state wants. Now, there are some even saying that President Trump and his family need to leave the country before he's arrested or imprisoned. Now, if that happens, we've entered another completely different phase in this process. It's the governmental collapse phase in the transition into dictatorship, and this is exactly what happened as Weimar Germany became Nazi Germany through the 1920s into the 1930s with the rise to power of Hitler. We're seeing it right now, folks, and it's something I've never thought I'd see in the U.S. as I was growing up. I always thought the commies and the fascists were over there somewhere else, and we'd never lose our freedoms like we're doing right now. But when you think about it, whether or not Trump flees, whether or not Trump is in prison, none of this really matters. You know, once this illegitimate administration under the fake President Biden is emboldened enough and feel comfortable enough in their de facto power to start eliminating political opposition, the crisis phase has begun. And folks, the Democrats have a very narrow window right now. They can't pretend to be legitimately elected while simultaneously rigging elections forever. Sooner or later, enough people are going to wake up and see this scam for what it is. The end game will fail. And that's where the Democrats are at right now. The window on their opportunity, so to speak, their event horizon is narrowing. And if they're going to be able to pull this off, they have probably opportunity for one more steal in these midterm elections before the people are so pissed off, so upset, and so upset that they're going to rise up in mass. And I think you see the IRS buying all these bolts, millions of dollars worth of ammunition, trying to hire IRS agents for military skills and willing to use a little force. This is all coming to the end game. The Biden regime's running out of time on the clock. Now, there's this quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, you know, the author of Gulag Archipelago. And I'd just like to read this quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And how we burned in the camps later, thinking what things would have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive or had to say goodbye to his family. Or if, during periods of mass arrests, as for example, in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, did you know they did that, folks? 25% of the population of Leningrad were arrested during this reign of terror by Stalin and Lenin. Had they not simply sat there in their lairs, pelling in terror at every bang on the downstairs door and at every step on the staircase, but had understood they had nothing left to lose and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was at hand, the organs would have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt. And that's the truth, folks. All good men have to do for evil to prevail is nothing. Now, I'm not talking about a revolution here, folks. I'm just talking about resistance. If someone's coming for you and your loved ones in the middle of the night, that's not legitimate. That's illegitimate. And you protect your family with whatever force is necessary. So, was it a raid or wasn't it? Well, the order was issued from the establishment, and the entire parrot mainstream media literally turned on a dime. And I'm not making this stuff up, folks. Somebody put a clip together this week. Remember, this just came out on Monday, and this was already out. And this happened after a former Biden regime staffer, actually it was the press secretary for Kamala Harris. Her name was Simone Sanders. She now works for MSNBC as a weekend host. She pleaded with her colleagues in a tweet to stop calling the action by the FBI at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence a raid. And here's what she said. Please, folks, stop calling it a raid. Now, this clip is fantastic. I actually have it up on my Twitter account. Just have a listen. At the first part, this is how they were reporting. Then she tweets this, stop calling it a raid. Then listen to how the entire media in lockstep conformed to her request.
We learned the news of the FBI raid on Donald Trump's home in Florida at 6:52 p.m. this evening.
The home of the 45th president of the United States has been raided by the FBI.
The raid on former President Trump's home.
This raid might have pertained to.
This raid on his home.
An FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago.
The raid.
Hear about a raid on Donald Trump's house.
A raid on the former president's property.
Yesterday's federal raid on Mar-a-Lago was impressive.
We keep hearing a lot of people call what the FBI did at Mar-a-Lago a raid.
Was it really
that
a
you
raid?
Have. Well, yeah, not a raid, the search.
Not a raid, we'll call it a search. Let's put yesterday's search.
This is obviously not a raid, technically speaking.
New details about the FBI search on Mar-a-Lago. The search on the president's home leading up to this search on Monday.
No, man, it was no raid on your home.
It's not a raid.
It wasn't a raid on his house.
No. This unprecedented search on Monday.
This was not a raid. This was not a raid.
It was an orderly execution of a search warrant.
And those are the facts.
So even on something like this, the mainstream media has to keep their narrative between the networks consistent. And that's what they do, folks. Operation Lockstep. You don't get different views from different networks. You get the same rehashed propaganda. You get the same rehashed agenda of the deep state. Now, this clip goes back decades. And this is Ron Paul in an interview, I believe from the 80s, talking about what the FBI's purpose really is. Let's have a listen.
You know, most of our history, we didn't have those institutions. The FBI came in during the First World War. And interestingly enough, the one thing that Woodrow Wilson did, he used the FBI to spy on American citizens and actually arrest them if they disagreed with his foreign policy about going to war in Europe. And isn't it interesting how recent they used it in the Vietnam era? Democrats used it there. Republicans used the FBI to spy on 100 different groups in this country, including the churches, who disagree with the policy in Central America. It almost looks like the FBI was designed to spy on Americans who might be disagreeing with policy, especially the foreign policy. So the FBI, although I don't think I could condemn everything they've ever done, because I'm sure some of the investigations and investigation of crime has been beneficial, but that could be accomplished through Justice Department within our states. We wouldn't reject that portion of it. But I think the FBI has kept and continues to keep a lot of records on a lot of individuals. The CIA has only been here since 1947. Their record is lousy. I mean, just think of the CIA used by the Democratic administration to
Had my mic off. I apologize, folks. So, there you hear it. We have this Stasi group, you know, the brown shirts, the Gestapo, whatever you want to call them. We see history repeating itself, and you can see ominous parallels between what happened in Stalinist Bolshevik Russia in the 1917 era, and what happened with Nazi Germany in the 1930 era. And next week, provided the Lord's willing, I'd like to do a deep dive into an article published over at the Gateway Pundit titled History Repeats Itself. Democrats are using tactics of the Marxists of 1970 in Russia. Their final assault on America begins. But I'm going to hold that off for next week, folks. We have a lot of information to go over. Now, we've all heard of J. Edgar Hoover. He was the first director of the FBI. And it's out there. People know that he liked to cross-dress. There's rumors that he was a homosexual. But he ran a tight ship. Yet there was some issues there. Now, the cross-dressing story came out from a guy named Louis Rosenthal. He was the founder of Schenley Industries, a distillery company. And actually, Schenley Industries was literally about 5 miles down the road from where I live. Now, his fourth wife, Susan, disclosed this to the journalist Anthony Snummers, who wrote The Official and Confidential Life of J. Edgar Hoover in 1993. Now, Susan claimed to have seen Hoover engaging in cross-dressing back in the 50s at all-male parties. I wonder how she could have been there at an all-male party, but this is how the story goes. And another Hoover biographer, Burton Hirsch, later confirmed all of this, so that's why I'm mentioning it here now. Now, Summers alleged that the mafia had blackmail material on Hoover. And stay with me, folks. There's a reason I'm talking about all this. And this made Hoover reluctant to pursue organized crime more aggressively. So although Hoover created this great image of the FBI, he was compromised, just like a lot of the Supreme Court justices are right now, a lot of the members of Congress are. And another form of blackmail came from pornography. It's been alleged that Hoover had the largest collection of pornographic material in the world, ranging from films and photographs and written material, with a lot of emphasis on nude and lewd images of Hollywood celebrities that he used to blackmail them. So he's being blackmailed by the mob, and he's blackmailing others. And I've been saying for years that the deep state uses sexual perversions, drugs, or money to control the politicians. And porn's the first step, folks. Porn is the first step to all of this. Now, of an 18-year-old podcaster, it's incredible. I'm looking for the notes on it right here. And I don't know where I put the notes, but you have to hear this clip, folks. It's amazing. This kid, Dan Schmidt, interviewed Tucker Carlson on porn. So I'm going to call up this clip with Dan, and let's see what we get here. Dan Schmidt interviews Tucker Carlson on porn. And just listen, this is an 18-year-old who actually can think, and he's interviewing Tucker Carlson, and they're deep diving into what's behind this global porn presence on the internet. Let's have a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by the one and only Tucker Carlson. Now, I have to begin by saying, look, my parents are not Fox News executives, okay? I am a normal kid, a normal 18-year-old kid, and I am so grateful to be joined by Tucker Carlson. I think it's just a testament to how real Tucker Carlson is, how he's willing to spend time with an ordinary kid. I live in a single-mother household. My mom is a church cleaner, and I'm so thankful to just be joined by him. What an honor it is. Tucker Carlson, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate
it. Well, thanks for having me. Are you really 18?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Amazing. I have 4 children older than you.
Dangerous. But, you know, going back to porn, I mean, I've been asked, you know, adults talk to me. They're like, you're so smart, whatever. What do you think is the greatest danger to young men? And I tell them, I think it's porn, because I have so many young friends, males, who tell me I'm straight up addicted to porn. And these are kids who used to go to church every Sunday and were very, you know, detached. But what happens is, you know, they'll be browsing some website, there's some ad, they click on it, and then next thing you know, they're hooked. And I think what really porn is doing that is nefarious is it's desensitizing people to, like, normal sex and making them very interested in, like, some of the most obscure, you know, very grotesque stuff. And if I had to just, this is an opinion of mine, but I really think this is one of the reasons why you're seeing so many young people identify as all these gender identities and, you know, orientations. I think we're seeing now 1 in 5 people my age identify as LGBT. What do you think about that? Do you think that is just totally artificial? What do you think is going on there?
Well, it's not, you know, a product of nature, clearly. I mean, it's, you know, people weren't born that way. Some people may have been, but if you see an increase that dramatically over such a short period, it tells you there are environmental factors that are causing it. I mean, by definition, this is like social science 101. So, you know, I'm at a disadvantage because I'm a little cut off from it. But the first thing I think, porn is clearly bad. It's clearly dehumanizing. It's clearly desensitizing. Like, how could that not be true? Of course it is. It's also clearly very profitable. So who are these people who are getting rich from porn, and why don't we know their names? So, like, some cop restrains you know, a convicted felon in Minneapolis on Memorial Day 2020, and he's doing life in prison for that. And his family, you know, probably changed their name because he's so infamous. So, like, we focus on these people as villains, but then, you know, what about the CEO of Pfizer or the guy who owns Pornhub? Like, why aren't their names associated with the crimes that they've committed? I don't understand. In fact, I do understand. And the single biggest change in my lifetime, now fairly long lifetime, is the power of corporations over American society. I mean, Coke and Pepsi and Philip Morris and Levi, you know, those are big GM, those are big companies when I was a kid, but they didn't have the kind of cultural influence that they have now. And there was also an organized group called the Democratic Party that pushed back against corporate power for like 80 years. All of a sudden, you've seen this weird alignment where the leaders of both parties are foursquare on the side of corporations against the public at exactly the moment when those corporations have more power than they've ever had. And I know I sound like Noam Chomsky or something, but I don't care. That's just true. And why is no one saying anything about it? So, like, the first thing I would do is, like, if I did another segment on porn, and thank you for reminding me, we probably should, like, who does own these online porn companies? And why can't we put their picture on the screen? And where do they live? And how much money do they make? And, like, why aren't they answering for the damage that they're doing? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, why
no,
is it
100%.
And 20 years ago, they haul the presidents of the different tobacco companies up to Capitol Hill and treat them like, you know, it's the Nuremberg trials or something. And, you know, whatever, smoking is bad for you. Smoking is also pretty great in a lot of other ways. I'm fairly pro-smoking, just to be totally blunt with you. But it obviously harms you physically. But the damage that smoking does doesn't approach the damage that the internet does and that porn does. It's not even close. So Google is, like, way worse for you than a Marlboro Red. Like, it's not even the same universe. So, but Sundar Pichai goes on CNBC and he's treated like Jesus. Like, this is just a huge change. I can't metabolize the change. It's just too different for me.
The scariest thing about the whole porn thing is, I think I learned this like a year ago, the same company, it's a company called MindGeek. It owns all the top porn companies. So, like, Pornhub, like 10 others, are all owned by the same parent company. So, you know, just on your point about who owns it, well, it's apparently owned by the same company. So it really makes you wonder what's going on here.
Does it have a president? Or, like, who, why don't... So, I mean, I'm coming at this cold. Like, you could check my search history. I don't know much about the subject, but but I think it's a really interesting question. Like, someone's probably making billions of dollars from destroying the country. Like, what, you know, what's his name?
Yeah, that's the question that should be answered for sure.
I thought that was a very detailed discussion with regard to what porn is doing, folks. Now, just for the record, a while back, and I'm looking for the reference here, I don't see it, but a while back, I did an entire SDG message on the dangers of pornography. And it's damaging, folks, but it's not the cause of addiction. It's a symptom of an addictive society, and it's also very damaging to sexually naive children. Folks, I'm telling you, God gave sex to a man and a woman to enable them to become co-creators with him. We procreate. Now, the shame of sex and the perversion of sex all comes from the father of lies himself, that's Satan. And there's a purpose for this, and we can see it unfolding today. And his minion, the actors on both the left and right false narrative, don't know that by all of the agenda they're pushing, they're literally carrying out Lucifer's plan. So they're unconsciously doing the will of the evil one. Now, the left doesn't even believe any of this exists in the spiritual realm, whereas the right, they assume that they're battling generic evil and they're being smarter because they have some specific goal. There was a saying that said, doing the right thing for the wrong reason is the worst kind of treason. And that's what I see a lot of the people on the right doing. Now, there's a latency or a time lag between the cause and effect when you do something evil. But that latency is starting to fall apart with modern technology and what's happening with all of the hormones and various poisons in our food. We're seeing a lot of children go into puberty as early as 6 or 8 years old. So we don't have this latency anymore. And we're at a crossroads where I believe the fate of man is literally going to be determined whether or not the species, as we were fearfully and wonderfully created by God, to share in this conjugal love between a man and his wife, a biological man and a biological woman, to procreate and continue the existence of our kind, whether that's going to be exterminated by this new hive species of transhumanists manufactured using human and animal DNA and these mRNAs and all this other weird technology that's happening, whether that's going to win out with this new hive mind transhumanistic robot world, or whether we, the people, are going to be victorious. So a lot of this is being manufactured by the globalists, folks. And in a sense, the ghosts of the past, you know, all of these various people we've talked about from Hegel to Freud. And in fact, folks, Freud was correct in saying that the repression of sex leads to perversion. And sexual sinners are, in a sense, victims. That's all true. God didn't design children to be sexually mature at this age and to be tempted by all this garbage on the internet. So there was a completely different dynamic with regard to all this prior to this commercialized food system with the hormones and all the things it's doing to the endocrinology of the young children, to the immediate sex. You know, you used to have to go to the porn shop in the seedy section of town to get your fix. Now you just do a few clicks and you're there. That's very sad, folks. So from hormones to bandwidth, we see a collapse of some of the checks and balances that we used to have with regard to some of these perversions. And in the beginning, extended families were the norm. Now people wait until 30 or even 40 or never before to get married, have children if they even do, and let's not even get going on divorce. Now, one more thing, folks. I'm just trying to cover a lot of information today that's going to tie together to something in the Back to the Future episode, or segment, I should say. Now, one more thing I want to share. Did you hear that Amnesty International just reported that the Ukrainian fighting tactics endanger civilians? Now, the stuff that I've been saying since February, military bases set up in residential areas, including schools and hospitals, attacks launched from populated civilian areas, violations of all sorts of codes of conduct within the, you know, the right way to wage war, if there is such a thing. So Amnesty International came out with this report and findings from a period between April and July. They spent several weeks investigating Russian strikes in Kharkov, Donbass, and the Mykolaiv regions, and have concluded that the Ukrainian forces, following the proper code of conduct in conducting what's known as just war. Now, they got some outcry from this, but they didn't back down. So there's another example, folks, of something that's been validated that we've been saying for nearly 6 months here on SDG. But we have to keep moving, folks, and right now it's time for our newest segment, Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick Road. You're off to see the river, the wonderful river of Oz. You'll find the end of the river, the wind, if ever a river was. If ever a river was, the wind of Oz is one because, 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 because.
peanuts. You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
Now, this segment is to show the money connection. The Yellow Brick Road in The Wizard of Oz was the money system. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, you know, I've been reporting on the CSRQSM pilot program that Bill Sweet and what is that, Inoculum Labs is reporting on. So I'd just like to give you an update on Bill Sweet and Gideon and the whole CSRQSM software for the four class systems after the financial collapse. And I'm telling you, that scripture from St. Paul to Timothy is alive and true and proven with this story. Now, I've been following along and commenting on the Twitter section and getting a lot of good response because a lot of what Bill Sweet's saying is true. But I think this may be a honeypot operation. So after being invited into their sovereign pilot program, me personally, I have the emails from Bill Sweet, and it was a form letter from his Proton email account. And he goes on to ask me to create what's known as a multi-sig wallet. Now, in crypto world, that's a system where you're supposed to have enhanced security because you need two signatures or two crypto keys to access the wallet. And get this, folks, he wants me to give one of the keys to Gideon. And then he actually goes on to talk about these monthly installments. And when he started asking for money, and the first payment has to be $14,000, and then he recommends $100 a month, and I should also do some for my loved ones. This sounds like a honeypot operation. Now, I'm not the only one talking about this. There's this podcaster over on YouTube. He identifies as the Ridgedale brand. And I'd just like to play a little bit out of one of his latest podcasts about this entire CSRQSM pilot program. Just have a listen.
It's going to be another one of those days where the first two videos of the day are about CSRQ-SM. That's right. It's been insane over the last 24 hours. The first thing is Bill said that that their website was taken down, that Bill did not take the website down on his own. Someone else took it down. I can confirm that that is true. My contact, or one of my contacts, decided to take it upon himself to reach out to their hosting provider, who also happens to be their domain registrar, and showed them that there was evidence that they were linked to a scam. And so the hosting provider took down the website, oculumlabs.com. Yesterday, they had a whole bunch up on the Wix site. Today, the Wix site is gone. I don't know if they took it down or if someone reached out to Wix to have the site removed. It kind of makes things a little inconvenient for me because there was something on the website that I definitely wanted to show you guys today. Instead, I'm going to have to show you a print screen of it. But in the meantime, there is a new pilot program, ladies and gentlemen, brand new. And when I say brand new, this went out. I received this in the wee hours, sent on Tuesday, August 9th, 2022. Now, this has to do with the time zones of the person who received and then forwarded it to me. Before people go and say this is fake, I'm not showing it in my inbox because I told the source that I would redact their email address, and I can't figure out how to redact it while making it scrollable. So I printed the email. If you need more, let me know in the comments, and I'll see what I can do to redact it in a short or something and show you it in my actual inbox. But this was sent to me yesterday. A brand new email with a brand new pilot program. To all in our pilot program, I have now received your email and said accept. So we will now move on to the next steps. By the way, this overall is not substantially different from the first email that I read before in the previous video. You can go find that. It's in the playlist. But there are some things that are different. As you are aware, we are under intense attack, and my website was completely erased. Yes, it was. It was completely erased because of what I noted earlier in the video. Because of the seriousness of this and the short time frame, fear of missing out, we need to get your applications to Gideon as soon as possible. Let's now proceed. We are going to want to read, or you are going to want to read the following carefully and make sure every single question and issue is covered before moving forward. Now, these points here are basically all the same things that I read last time. Your inflow requirements, how to talk to the white hats. That's who it is. So there's all of that. Oh, and they went back to 90% chance that CSRQ will happen instead of, I think it was 82 in the last info drop or whatever, intel drop. Now that I've gone over all that, I want you to process it. The positive here is that you'll be getting USDR, and you will be the only people outside of the cabal getting it. It is insurance. It makes me feel safe every time I feel anxiety about this reset. Yeah, remember that. We've had to create multiple new emails. For now, this one, billsweet1@proton.me, will work. Please use the title Confirm when you write. The following is more or less an official application. Provide the following in this new email. You might want to copy and paste this into a new email. A one or two paragraph statement. Again, we've read all of this. That's all we need for now. Send the above responses 1 through 4 to this email, billsweet1@proton.me, with the title Confirm. If you are chosen, you will get your personal data at a later time so we can look you up in CSRQ and find your account. We're not at that stage yet, although I did have someone reach out to me and they said they gave a fake name and they got rejected. So he's guessing they're trying to check against social media accounts. Let's go ahead and get your actual docs so that we can maybe steal your identity, but confirm that you're not trying to trick us so that we can actually steal your crypto. It's social engineering. Anybody smart enough to not fall for it is going to be rejected. Bear in mind, we will only use your personal data to look you up in CSRQ or to confirm that you're a real person on all the other People Finder websites, so we know you're gullible enough to fall for this. Once you are found, we will delete your personal data on our end, as there will be no need for it any longer. The purpose is to simply find you in CSRQ, confirm it is you, and begin the editing stage and move you into sovereign status. Have you noticed that Bill stopped using capital letters? It didn't start that way, by the way, but people have started theorizing that Bill and Gideon and Michael are all the same person, and they do seem to have similar voices. Some people say that Michael is nicer than Bill. Some people say that Michael is meaner than Bill. It probably depends on the day and whether or not they're all in the same mood. But I wonder if the theory that they're all the same person has led them to push the Bill character into typing more like a retard. If you have any further questions, feel free to write me first. Now let's briefly discuss cryptocurrency. Almost all cryptos are accepted because we see inflows in a variety of them. Look, it's okay. You can pay us however you want. Remember when they said they will never ask for your personal information or tell you that you will have to send money and then turned around and said you're going to have to send money? We recommend Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, and XLM, but there are many others that are suitable. These coins must be sent to an address the CSRQ software generates when your sovereign account is created. What do you want to bet? That address is going to be a single wallet sent to everyone. At this point, I doubt anyone is actually going to get far enough in. If you are a person who sends money to this address, please send us a crypto wallet. Please send us the address if you ever get that far. RidgedaleBrand@protonmail.com. The whistleblowers will send that address to Gideon, then to me, and then I will provide it to you. That is OPSEC nightmare. That is so much terrible security. You have no idea. Once they arrive at the address, the SRQ will instantly generate the correspondent USDR to your sovereign account at around a 1 to 43 ratio. Yes, we've read most of this before.
Okay, that's enough. I apologize for the bad audio there. We're getting some kind of background. I've been working with Alex and his wife through emails to try to solve this problem. I've changed a couple level settings here. I'm using a good Plantronic headset, and I've got a very high-speed computer system here. I really don't know what's going on, but I apologize for the bad audio and that. I wanted you to get a flavor of somebody else who's looking at this. Now, I have to admit something to you, folks. I should have known better as soon as I saw this guy named Bill Sweet appear out of nowhere. I mean, Bill Sweet had it all there, folks. He's got the three F's, as I call them. And what are the three F's? Well, FOMO, fear, and failure. FOMO is the fear of missing out. So in a lot of the things that Bill wrote, oh, you know, you got to get involved with this. It's your only way to actually be secure on the other side of the Great Reset. And then he's using the fear, you know, he stirs you with fear. Then he also stirs you with what happens if you fail to act. You know, from the boogeyman, the invisible enemy, mingled with the seedings of truth, spiced up with this imminent danger. And yeah, it is. There's serious stuff going on. Now, I can say that he probably is one guy out there scamming. I think Gideon, Bill, and Michael are all the same people, just like the podcaster over at the Ridgedale brand said. Now, I don't know if the web pages that were created and no longer up were actually used as traps or what. I think what they're doing is they're trying to get money off of gullible people. But a lot of what they're saying is true. And that's the danger out there right now, folks. The sad thing is that everything that Bill Sweet talks about is coming at us like a freight train rumbling down the tracks, unstoppable. But I'm telling you, folks, it's not Trump or Q or MAGA or these mysterious white hatters that are going to save us. We're not going to beat fascism in the Great Reset with any of this. If there's any hope at all, it's going to come from God. Now, this may be the signs of the times, and this may actually be the soon return of Jesus Christ and the rapture of his church. It could very well be, but regardless, we have to occupy till he returns. Now, this CBDC talk, you know, the central bank digital currency, which Bill Sweet calls that Q, what is it? I keep forgetting that acronym because it's so lame. CSRQ. All that stuff's real. I mean, there was this article out of the WND.com, Biden planning to protect us from cash beginning December 13th. So Robert Kiyosaki, you know, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he had some choice words for Executive Order 14067. He called President Joe Biden's signed executive order the most treasonous act in U.S. history. And we've talked about some of this last week, folks. And he says that the creation of the central bank digital currencies, or the CBDCs as they're called, is communism in its purest form. And he's encouraging all Americans to awaken to this threat. And then Jim Rickards, and I mentioned Jim a while back, he's an investor and former CIA official. And, you know, once CIA, always CIA, but he's out there for whatever reason. He could be controlled opposition, warning about the end of cash. And the destruction of the greenback that's been around since the founding of this nation. Now it's been corrupted by the Federal Reserve, but nonetheless, the dollar's been around since the founding of this nation. And there's this move to digital tokens that can be turned off if the government doesn't like what you're doing. And that's what Bill Sweet was talking about. So there's a lot of truth into what Bill Sweet's saying. Now, even Aaron Russo, remember Aaron Russo? He said that the one Rockefeller heir, I think it was Nicholas Rockefeller, told him that the globalist plan, this is over 20 years ago, was to get all money into digital format so they could cut you off if you didn't play along with their game. And isn't that exactly what they're doing, folks? But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. And I'm looking for Henrietta. You're supposed to be here. Where are you, bird? There she is. Get in here. She's out there playing with the dog. She was not supposed to be doing that. She knows this is her segment. Well, anyways, folks, this is our prepping segment, Coop Talk with Henrietta. And you know, I've been talking about taking care of ourselves. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Folks, if you don't take care of yourselves, how are you going to be a good and effective soldier in this war? Now, we take care of our pets and our homes and our cars. You know, when our pet's sick, we go to the vet. We try to give them good food. We maintain our house. We take our car in for all of its scheduled maintenance. And whenever there's a noise or a rumble or a shake that isn't normal. And likewise, we must view our bodies in terms of maintenance. Now, I'm talking about the whole system, our whole self, not just our bodies, but our souls and our spirits. And if you've followed me for any period of time, folks, you know I talk about a healthy body needing a happy soul, which needs a Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a spirit that is set apart and filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, which gives light to the soul. That's out of Proverbs, folks. So we need to have oil in our lamps so that we can be illuminated in our minds, which are a part of our soul. You know, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And when we're given light by our spirit for our soul, we're happy. So when our spirit's holy, it can shed light from God to give an understanding to our souls, which can then give direction to our bodies to make our bodies healthy. Now, normal happiness depends upon circumstance. But when a soul is happy by being in fellowship with the Spirit, it's happy regardless of circumstance. Happy is probably not the right word. Maybe joyful is. So first and foremost, we need spiritual health, which leads to soul health, which ultimately leads to physical health. But I want to talk about physical health today. And I want to compare it to caring for your car. So, you know, you want to put good fuel in your car. Fuel is the food for a car. And if you hear that the gas station down the way has water in the tank and everybody's cars are breaking down from the water that's not being filtered out properly or was introduced through some extraneous source, you're not going to go buy that gas. Well, likewise, if you hear that prepared and packaged foods are bad, they're full of toxic chemicals and preservatives and all sorts of other garbage, you know, bad vegetable oils and all this other crap, why do you put it in your body? Now, another thing we do with our cars is we do regular oil changes. And that can be compared to detox in our systems. So as an internal combustion engine or a diesel engine runs, there's a lot of dirt that's introduced to the system through the fuel and the combustion process or from the aspiration process, which gives it the oxygen it needs through the air. So these oil changes are like detoxing our system. So just in the course of a normal day, even if you're eating well, you're exposed to all sorts of toxins. So in addition to good food, you need to cleanse the system, and there's a variety of ways to do that. Now, even if you're an avid car collector and you have a car that's 60 or 70 years old and it's an antique or a classic, if you keep it in the garage all the time and don't run it, the seals dry out and the engine won't run because the fuel gums up. So it's very important to exercise. And that's crucial, whether the car is 1 year old or 100 years old. It needs to be exercised. So if you're not exercising your body, you're gonna dry up. Your joints aren't going to remain lubricated. Your muscles aren't going to remain toned. Your capillaries aren't going to be flushing all these toxins and waste products out of your body. So it's very important that you exercise your bodies just like you exercise your car. Use it or lose it, you know? And plus, you also want to avoid the elements. So a person that parks his car outside and runs it through the salt in the winter, if you live up here in the north, or drives it through the salty marshes of the south, you're going to have environmental exposure and rusting and UV exposure, and you're going to have mice and acorns end up in your air intakes and all this other garbage just from environmental exposure. And likewise, we have to avoid environmental exposure. And it comes in all sorts of different ways, from all the pollutants in a modern home, you know, from the formaldehyde that's in some of the flooring products to the garbage that's in most of the personal care products that people use. We have to avoid these environmental exposures. So think about the way you care for your car and then compare it to how you care for yourself. And if you're not taking care of yourself at least as good as you're taking care of your car is either broken down and you're going to be broken down, or you've got a good running car and you're not taking care of yourself, you're going to break down. Then what's it matter what your car is like? So my point is, take care of yourselves, folks. And perhaps if the Lord's willing, we'll talk about how you have a healthy soul and a happy soul and a Holy Spirit next week. But right now, we have to keep moving, and it's time for the Hopium Report. And you know, folks, there is hope out there, and the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart grow weary, but let's get into the Hopium. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium. So Alex Jones is going through his court case right now for the whole Sandy Hook debacle. And whatever you think of Alex Jones, what's in trial right now? What's on trial right now is the First Amendment. And what you actually are free to say and not to say. Well, during this entire hearing, and I call it a kangaroo court or a star chamber trial because of all the circumstances, but that's a story for another day. What I'd like to say is that when AJ was asked question by the attorney for the plaintiffs, he dropped a bomb on the group. This is a little clip that was out there. I posted it on my Twitter page. It's 31 seconds. And it's classic Alex Jones. Just have a listen.
One of the things you've been talking about on your show is your allegation that government officials are aiding in pedophilia, child trafficking, and the grooming of children, right?
Well, you mean like what Jeffrey Epstein did with the Clintons?
Folks, that was a mic drop event during the hearing. You should have seen the face of the judge and the attorney when Alex Jones answered like that. And enough said for Hopium. Let's keep moving. It's time for the Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
So I want to talk about the Matt Walsh documentary a little bit. And I put it in the Absurdian Report, not because Matt's documentary is absurd, but so many of the responses when he asks that simple question, what is a woman, are just absolutely loony. Now, there was this excellent review of this documentary in the City Journal, and I mentioned that earlier in the show, and I said I'll cover later. Well, it starts off with sense, and it's very over the cityjournal.org review of What a Woman by Matt Walsh. So it just says, what is a woman probes queer theory, but only indirectly. It goes on to say that Walsh gets those interviewees to say what they don't believe in truth, or that they believe their own special truth. Now, saying things like that are just absurd, and that's why it's in the Absurdian Report, folks. And in most of these cases, the speaker assumes that his claims are true simply because he said them, without reason, without logic. And this is a aftermath of the twisted postmodern views of reality that I talked about came from these ghosts of the past that haunt us, people like Hegel, Feuerbach, Nietzsche, Marx, Darwin, Freud. It's twisted thinking. It's stinking thinking. So they believe whatever makes people feel good about themselves is, for social purposes, the truth. And nothing can be further from the truth, folks. So it follows in this line of stinking thinking that a woman is anyone who identifies as a woman. Folks, that's not gender ideology. That's a faux relativism, embraced benefits. But as we'll see in the Back to the Future segment, there's not very much good therapy in any of this gender dysphoria and all the answers for it. Now, at one point, Walsh interviews Carl Truman, a theologian at Grove City College and author of The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. And this Truman, stinking thinker, summarizes three core tenets of the contemporary gender movement. First, the belief is rooted in the American political tradition that the pursuit of happiness is our chief calling in life. And remember what happiness is. I was talking about that. Normal, secular happiness is circumstantial. It depends on your circumstances. Is it a rainy day, a hot day, a cold day? Is the sun shining? Is it cloudy? And it also depends on your stomach. Remember how C.S. Lewis talked about it in The Abolition of Man. And then secondly, Truman goes on to say that the Rousseauian tendency to understand ourselves in psychological terms, especially as beings whose fundamental experience is emotion rather than reason, and remember, emotion comes from the shallowest portion of your being, folks, whereas reason is grounded in truth, and it comes from the spirit, which is the deepest part of reality. But yet they're saying that feelings define reality. And then thirdly, the conviction that no one should interfere with, and this means to judge another person's pursuit of happiness as he or she understands it. And I'm telling you, that all came from some stinking thinkers that followed the five I've been talking about, people like Michel Foucault, and a chicken comment that Matt Walsh actually made. As soon as I heard that, it's like, oh, that came from Michel. Who was, and we're going to get into Michelle a little bit more in Back to the Future. But I'm telling you, folks, this documentary that Matt did is excellent. So if you haven't seen it yet, please, please check it out. Now, I have one more clip before we move on that I'd like to play. It's a little 46-second clip where Matt Walsh is being challenged with regard to truth and gender identity. Listen to this craziness from this woman.
Male gametes. That's what makes me male.
No, your sperm don't make you male.
Then what does?
It's a constellation.
In reality. In truth. Okay.
Whose truth are we talking about?
The same truth that says we're sitting in this room right now, you and I.
No, you're not listening.
If I see a chicken laying eggs and I say that's a female chicken laying eggs, did I assign female or am I just observing a physical reality that's happening in the world?
Does a chicken have gender identity? Does a chicken cry?
Does a chicken
commit suicide? Let's frame it because you're talking. You're trying.
Has sex like any biological organism.
Chicken has an assigned gender, but a chicken doesn't have a gender identity.
So we assign female to chickens when they lay eggs.
We assume they're female if they lay eggs.
Now that whole line of discussion there, like I said, come from Michel Foucault, a French stinking thinker that we're going to get into a little bit later. But right now, folks, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. Now, over the past 5 or 6 weeks, we've been talking about some of the ghosts from our past that are haunting us today. You know, we talked about Hegel and the Hegelian hogwash, and then we talked about Feuerbach, who builds on those stinking thoughts of Hegel and says that God is a construct of our mind. And then we're haunted by Karl Marx, and then Darwin, and even Freud. Well, you know, folks, there are similar attacks in theology. And one that I'd just like to briefly mention today, because I'm running out of time and we have to keep moving, is what's known as modern textual criticism. And this was all poisoned into our theological system by two British theologians of the 19th century, Westcott and Hort. And I've done entire series on these two stinking thinkers. And you can find them in the archives. But essentially what they did is they undermined the foundational truth of the faith concerning the immutability of the Word of God. And they brought chaos we see in the modern translations today. And there's a really good expose on this over at chick.com/books. So check it out over at chick.com. And this stinking thinking poisons so many areas of our life. Poisons our money system, poisons our educational system. And perhaps next week I can get into more detail on this. But right now, folks, I am running out of time and we have to keep moving. And I'd like to cover some of this info now that I've reserved for the Back to the Future section. And this is Back to the Future, where we take something old and bring it back to the future. Now, I'd like to talk about two Frenchmen, John Money and this Michel Foucault. Now, John Money was a French philosopher and known as the father of LGBTQ or queer theory. Now, Michel Foucault was also involved in all of this. And Foucault is also a known pedophile with a documented history of this type of behavior in Northern Africa during the French colonial times. And their philosophies have infected some of the contemporary thinkers in this gender movement. Now, there's a lot of information out there on these two men. And I'd just like to cover a little bit of it very quickly. So let's start with Paul Michel Foucault. He was born in 1926 and he died in 1984, French philosopher whose primary theory was to address the relationship between power and knowledge and how it was used to form societal control through societal institutions. And he's often called a postmodernist, but he didn't like that. Well, if you know what postmodern is, you wouldn't want to be called a postmodernist. And his stinking thinking influenced a diverse range of disciplines from communication to anthropology to cultural studies to even sexual identity. And that's where I'd like to focus. Now, he wrote a lot of books, but the one that we're going to zero in on is The History of Sexuality. Oh, and get this, folks. He ultimately died from AIDS. And he was a homosexual, and his partner was named Daniel Defert. And they started an AIDS charity, and I'm not besmirching any of that. All I'm saying is that he lived a double-minded life. Now, in his book that was contradicted or challenged by others, and one of them was Roger Scruton. He said that Foucault was incorrect to claim in his book that sexual morality is culturally relative. And he criticizes Foucault for assuming that there could be societies in which problems didn't arise in sexual conduct. The mind of man is wicked, folks, and without God, we're lost. Without God, we're destitute. Left to our own ways, we'll come up with every perversion, folks. So Foucault's approach to sexuality, which he sees as a social construct, and you know, Freud had some of that thinking there too with regard to tribalism and all of that. We talked about some of that last week. This lousy thinking basically poisoned modern medicine in the area of psychology and gender dysphoria. And then if we move on to John William Money, born in 1921 and died in 2006. He was a psychologist from New Zealand and probably best known for what he did with gender identity, sexual orientation, and some of this craziness we're seeing in this LGBTQ movement today. And he did a very controversial operation back in, 1966. There was a botched circumcision that left this eight-month-old person named David Reimer without a penis. So he convinced David's parents to allow him to do a sex reassignment surgery, and that would be in Reimer's best interest. So at 22 months old, this little child underwent what's known as orchonoscopy with the removal of his testicles. Sick, folks. And he was renamed Brenda. And then he followed this case. And in 2002, Brian, or Brenda, his brother, was found dead with an overdose of antidepressants. And 2 years later, this other person committed suicide. So the very thing they're claiming that this sexual reassignment surgery can accomplish, which is to stop suicides, it's actually causing. Now, I have one more clip from Matt Walsh's documentary that I would like to play. It is this interview that Matt Walsh does with a surgeon defending the gender reassignment surgery of a 16-year-old.
What's the youngest patient that you've operated on?
The youngest patient I've done vaginoplasty on is age 16.
Do you worry that minors just don't understand enough about themselves? They're not neurologically developed enough yet to make permanent life-altering decisions?
Absolutely not.
There you have it. That's some stinking thinking, folks. And if you want to see how bad it could really get, look into this topic called MAP, Minor Attracted People or Persons, and you'll see what these parasites from the alphabet swamp of the LGBTQI++ movement are actually doing within the darkness of the swamp. So how do we apply this to the freaky deaky news of today? Well, just this week, this woman, 80-year-old woman, was thrown out of the local YMCA because she was speaking out. And this wasn't some Christian woman. This was one of these left-wing, progressive, stinking thinkers who actually saw the fruit of this crazy thinking. And listen to what she said while she testified to the local council concerning her ouster from the YMCA.
Yes, please. Approach the podium, state your name and where you live for the record.
I'm on the Quiver Peninsula, and I'm here because I had an experience that you need to know. I have sent it to you all in detail. In an effort by the city and the YMCA to apply the neocultural gender rules at Mountain View Pool dressing shower room facilities, women and children are being put at risk. My experience while showering after my swim was hearing a man's voice in the women's dressing area and seeing a man in a women's swimsuit watching little girls pull down their bathing suits in order to use the toilets in the dressing room. I reacted by telling him to leave, and the consequence is that I have been banned from the pool. There is no signage informing women the shower room is now all gender and what that means. nor have parents been informed of what they can expect with these new policies. The Y has not provided any dressing shower room options for women who do not want to be exposed to men who identify as women. It is unconscionable that the YMCA would instigate these new policies without clearly informing pool patrons and parents. Although in 2021, the Y reported that they were adding family and all gender dressing and bathing areas, they've not done that. Instead, they've usurped the binary designations and turned the facilities into all gender with no choices. The staff seems to have received little professional training on how to handle reactions to such a radical cultural change, particularly for the most vulnerable, older female patrons and children who may be exposed to inappropriate behavior. The dignity and safety of unsuspecting women who have trusted to use these facilities for many years. This is not right. The YMCA, the city, the police and sheriffs, the parents, the professionals who assist victims of voyeurism, peeping toms, pedophilia, and assault need to come together to figure out how to make the new policies work for all pool patrons, not just one group. How to keep children who are less able to discriminate safe. It is ironic that women who discriminate when a situation threatens their safety or their children, a message from our ancestors, are now accused of discrimination as if they have made someone else a victim. We need to do much more intelligent and wise about applying the rules and developing policies that are respectful and inclusive. Thank you.
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
That's right, folks. And remember, this happened in a YMCA. Now, YMCA was founded back in 1844 by George Williams in London, and it was originally called the Young Men's Christian Association, shortened to YMCA. Can you believe this? This happened at a YMCA. Oh, how we've fallen. And it's true, folks. We have fallen to this postmodernism stinking thinking. You know, this was founded to put Christian values into practice to develop healthy body, mind, and spirit. Remember, Holy Spirit, happy mind, healthy body. So what's happened? What's happened?
What?
That's right, Paul. Can anyone say infiltration and utter corruption? So I opened the show with talking to you about how to make our prayers both fervent and effective. And we do need to do that. And we can take a lesson from the Bible on this, folks. So I'd like to wrap this up, and I don't have a lot of time left. But I'd like to share with you what the Bible talks about making our prayers both fervent and effectual. You know, the Bible says in James 5:16 that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So what I'd like to do right now is pray. Father, please help us, Lord, not to be discouraged or to be alarmed. But on the other hand, dear Lord, to be sensitized, awakened, and energized. And help us, O Lord, not to go off half-cocked like I did Bill Sweet. But help us to know that what we believe and why we believe it are grounded upon you, the rock. And then teach us by the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit through the Spirit of Christ so that we may know all things and have the words to speak. And may our eyes continue to be upon you as we stand for the truth and protect our little ones. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, we just prayed, okay? And I pray that was a fervent and effectual prayer. But does that come naturally to you? Folks, I know it doesn't come naturally to me. And that's natural because it's not natural to neither the natural or carnal man to pray. Only the spiritual man or woman will be led to pray. And why? Well, because prayer, effectual and fervent prayer, is hard work. Remember, you need to have a Holy Spirit to have a happy soul, to have a healthy body. And if your spirit's not holy, if you've got some unrepented sin in your life, your prayers are going to bounce off the ceiling. That's why they have all of these perversions today, to quench the Holy Spirit. Now, when we learn this and we learn to strive in our prayers, the benefits will be enormous. Yet few of us, very few of us in the Christian realm, are capable of this. This is one of the most powerful gifts from God, that's fervent and effectual prayer. So very quickly, because I don't have a lot of time here, I just want to go through seven things that we can learn from the story that we read about in Acts chapter 12, where Peter was kept in prison and was ready to be executed after the holiday. So first of all, there was a freedom in that prayer. In verse 5, Peter therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So although he was a prisoner of Herod and scheduled for death and guarded by 16 guards, with two of them being chained to him, and the disciples didn't know how or when he'd be released, they were free to pray. You know, folks, the devil, the government, the CDC, the public school, your governor, your mayor, the president, none of these people can stop you or me from praying. Now, we may be behind iron bars. We may have chains on us, but we can still pray and then pray and then pray some more. And that's what the church did when Peter was in prison. Plus, there was a faithfulness to their prayer. Again, in verse 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of unto God for him. So this term, without ceasing, means that they prayed and prayed and prayed. And today, take it or leave it attitude towards prayer. But there's a mystery to prayer. You need to continue to do it. And the only way you can continue to do it is if you're faithful. Plus, there was a fervency to their prayer. You know, they said that they did it without ceasing in verse 5. So God said we must seek him with all of our hearts. And that's with a fervency, folks. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all your heart." So when we find him, as we search for him, it'll only happen when we do it with all of our heart. And so that means that we must strive in our prayer. And, you know, St. Paul amplifies that in Romans 15, verse 30, where he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you shall strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." So I'm telling you, prayer is hard work, folks. And St. Paul said we're to strive together with one another in our prayers. Plus, there's fellowship found in prayers. You know, this happened in verse 5 of Acts 12, without ceasing of the church. So all of them were praying unto God for Peter. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church. And you can see this in other portions of the Bible too. Read about it in 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And then again in Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. And I don't have time to read all these scriptures because I'm literally out of time. But it's there. So God hears us, those who believed on his name, those who were saved. And Jesus is with us in our collective prayers. And then there's also a faith demonstrated. You know, in distinction to their faithfulness, there's a faith in these prayers. They prayed unto God. They knew they were going to the very throne room of the Creator himself and were speaking with the Most High God. Now think about it, folks. If you had a chance to meet the president, how do you think you'd speak to the president when you got to meet him? I'm not talking about the imposter in chief. Let's say you got to meet President Trump or President Reagan, any one of these very good. Let's think if you could meet George Washington himself. If you had a chance to meet George Washington, how do you think you'd talk to him? You think it'd be thoughtless? So then if you would prepare what you were going to say to President Washington as you had an audience with him, why don't we do that with the Most High God in our prayers? The thought in our prayers ought to be staggering, but sometimes it isn't. Okay? And that's when we should use the special prayer language and allow the Spirit to move through us. Remember, we have an audience with the Most High God himself. And then listen to what he promised us in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Wow. That's the faith of our prayers, folks. And then also notice there was a focus to the prayer. They prayed for Peter. They prayed specifically, verse 5 of Acts 12. And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So there was a specificity to their prayer. They knew that he was about to be beheaded. And they said, we need to pray for him. So they did. Now, many of us, we pray these generalized, generic prayers. And we wonder why they're never answered. Many pray, Lord, comfort the bereaved. Lord, save the lost. Lord, heal the sick. Well, name the bereaved. Call them out. Name the lost. Call them out. Name the sick. And I tell you, folks, if you focus these prayers and if they're done fervently and effectively, God hears them and he answers them. So we need to have focus in our prayer. And then finally, a channeled focused prayer is a powerful prayer. And there's force in these prayers from this early church. So Peter was supernaturally released from prison, folks, the day before his planned death. He was asleep, sawing logs, the night before his execution. Could you be that peaceful? In fact, he was so deep in sleep that the angel actually had to kick him to wake him up. Read about it in verses 6 through 7 of Acts chapter 12. And then remember what Peter once was told by Jesus. You can read about that over in John chapter 21, verses 17 through 19. And there Jesus told Peter how he'd die as an old man to glorify God. So Peter was sitting there in prison and probably thinking, you know, I'm not old, and Jesus promised me I'd die when I'm old. So he had a sleep-filled night because he was faithful. And he knew the power and force of fervent and effectual prayer. Now, I'm sure we've all had sleepless nights, but imagine how many fewer we'd have if we believed the word of God like Peter did. So that angel had to wake him, tell him to get dressed, and then they literally walked out in class. Now, they came to this huge gate, and it was locked, and supernaturally, by the force of the prayer of the church and the move of the Holy Spirit through Peter and the angel, those gates were just thrown open. Acts chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Now, there are a few attributes of how God may answer prayer. God's answer to prayer is never late. It's never limited. And it's never a leisure event. God is always on time. So there was this huge prison gate, and it swung open on its own. Yet when he got to the house of Mary, mother of John, there was just a little wooden door. And God expected Peter to be persistent to have that door opened. So you can read about that over in Acts chapter 12, verses 11 through 16. And at first they thought the girl was mad. She went back to those praying inside the house and said, Peter's out there. And they thought, she's crazy. But Peter persisted, knocking, knocking, knocking. All the while they were inside praying. And why did he have to persist in that? Well, because God's never going to do for you or me what we can do for ourselves. Now, prayer is no substitute for labor or work. They need to be coupled. Prayer is the first thing you should do, and then you should step out in faith and labor and work. Jesus said to those at the tomb of Lazarus, roll away the stone and I'll raise him up. Now, he knew he could have rolled away that stone, but he knew they could not raise Lazarus. And he wanted them involved in the process, so he told them to roll away the stone, then he'd raise Lazarus up. And likewise, God's never going to do for you or me what we can do for ourselves, folks. But when we merge prayer with our labor and common sense, look out. I'm telling you, you can depend on organization, and you can see what an organization can do. You can depend on planning, and you can see what planning can do. And likewise with systems and all sorts of programs. But folks, I'm telling you that when we couple our common sense with our hard work and fervent, focused, faithful prayer, wait till you see what God will do through you. And I'm telling you, folks, it'll be miraculous. So I love y'all. I hope you got something out of this. And I hope before you step out in any endeavor in this truth war, You frame it in prayer. And never give in. Never give in. No, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, lives in you and me, folks. Let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp. Praise the Lord.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and his victory is in Jesus. Oh,